The Capital Connection is a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio. David Gustina is the producer of The Capital Connection. Support for The Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals standing with more than 600,000 workers in education, human services, and healthcare with the Our Voice, Our Values, Our Union campaign. And United University Professions, representing 37,000 academic and professional employees at SUNY campuses and teaching hospitals across New York State. Frederick E. Cole, President, UUPinfo.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi. Alan Chartok. Joining us this week is Fred Cole, president of UUP, United University Professions, the nation's largest public higher education union, representing more than 35,000 academic and professional faculty of the State University of New York. Welcome back, Fred.
Thank you. Good to be back.
Fred, a lot has gone on since we last talked. There's been a decision by the Supreme Court of the United States that people don't have to belong to unions if they don't want to. How's that affected us? And I say us because I want to disclose that I was a 40-something year member of your union.
Yes, and we're proud of that very much.
That's very nice.
Actually, the impact on UUP and all of the public sector unions in New York State has been minimal at best, or at worst. That's a better way of putting it. Our membership maintains a level of around 88% of those that are within our so-called bargaining unit. Those are the folks that we represent. And in total, we've had about 60 members out of those 35,000 you mentioned who actively chose to quit the union. But at the same time, we have had a handful who, after they quit, came back because they found that the union is important to them. And they see what we're getting in our new contract, the benefits, the protections. And with that, we feel that we have strength in our numbers. Now what we have to do is translate that into political power.
So what are the benefits?
Well, first and foremost, there is the traditional benefit of belonging to the union, which is collective strength, the power to collectively bargain a contract, the power to have that contract serve as a protection of your due process rights. Should management seek to undermine your position, your work environment, your union is there to protect you and to ensure that your rights are protected and carried out. And that administration cannot simply fire at will without justification or cause, that there is a process that has to be followed. And then in our case, the reality is we also negotiate incredibly beneficial, very, very positive health benefits for our members. And then there is the political angle. We advocate for the State University of New York. In fact, it's clear throughout our history that we have been the major advocate for public higher education in New York State in terms of SUNY. And we have always hoped, and at times SUNY has been very helpful with this, that we have SUNY along with us as a partner in this advocacy.
So Fred Cole, let's do a little history lesson here. Nelson Rockefeller wanted to build a state university. And in order to do that, he made a little promise to all the upstate Republican senators who were then in control. He said, if you go along, you get a SUNY in your district.
That's right.
Did that turn around and bite him in the behind at any point?
It really didn't. It created a situation where you had real strength, especially in the New York State Senate. There has always been an unwritten rule. The senators will all pull together so that no one's campus, quote unquote, is closed or endangered in any way. Now, of course, the situation has changed. We have a Democratic majority in the New York State Senate. And so a lot of our upstate campuses don't have that senatorial representation that could prove to be so beneficial and, in fact, that we need so much right now.
So once there was a SUNY in each of these districts, the other problem for the Republicans were that they were not only representing the state university, but they were representing the privates also in negotiations.
That's true. And also they have been, the New York State Legislature has been very supportive and I would say generous in terms of support for private institutions. And I think that's a little bit of a problem coming from the public sector. How I view it is if we're going to have the best public university system in the country, that must be the priority. It isn't right now. We've seen it in the decline in the state spending over the last 10 years. Since the Great Recession, SUNY has never recovered in terms of that.
So in this budget go-round, how did they do?
It was not a good budget. The reality is, I refer to it as a perfect storm. We had a new majority in the New York State Senate. Individuals came in who had to really learn on the fly in terms of the budget process in a very constricted amount of time. Very complex issues were confronted by the state Senate in a number of different areas, including non-budget items. And then you had the situation where the governor and the state comptroller announced that we had this massive hole in the budget that needed to be dealt with.
Did that turn out to be true?
All indications are that was the case at the time. The latest reports I'm seeing is that tax revenue is up in this next quarter.
I saw that too. Yeah.
And
But the controller and the governor always cry poor mouth in order to bring legislators around who want too much.
I think that's true, but I also think that they had willing partners in the democratically controlled state Senate. I think Andrea Stewart-Cousins really wanted to show that this time around the Democrats could be responsible. They could bring in a responsible, quote-unquote, budget on time, and they did.
No circular firing squad.
That is correct. The problem for SUNY is that there was really no significant increase in funding for public higher education in terms of SUNY or CUNY. There was some restoration and programs that the governor had proposed reducing. Where there were some major hits were in the SUNY hospitals, where the state subsidy is now gone. Now, there was an increase in the amount of funding going through the disproportionate share program, DISH program, which is federal and state money. We're pleased with that. But there really needs to be a continued investment in those hospitals. They're crucial for the health of New Yorkers all over this state.
Indeed they are. Is there a competition between, I taught at New Paltz for all of those years, and then towards the end I was in both New Paltz and Albany as a joint professor, and I always sensed that there was some competition between the major academic centers, Binghamton and Albany and Stony Brook, with the four-year colleges. I love New Paltz, by the way. I liked the Albany very much too, but I love New Paltz, and I never wanted to see them screwed in this kind of relationship.
And really, you know, that's the troubling thing. The university centers over the past 10 years have done very well. They attract a lot of students from all over the world. They get a lot of funding. They get funding, and we are very concerned about this, in their campus foundations, a lot of money. But the comprehensive colleges like New Paltz, like Buffalo State, like Fredonia, like Potsdam, they have been hurting very badly. In some cases, enrollment is down. That's not the case in New Paltz, though.
No.
Enrollment is strong there. But they simply have not gotten the state support that they need. And too much of the comprehensive colleges rely on tuition now, which is not what the intention of the public university system was about. It was about making sure we had public funding for these institutions.
Now, Fred Cole, when you go around to I go down to New Paltz every once in a while, SUNY at Albany, and I see massive building projects. This governor is a bit of a builder, I can
he
tell
is
you
indeed.
That. Is it disproportionate to put bricks and mortar as opposed to doing what's right for salaries and programs?
Well, I think the problem is if you build all of these, this new construction, which we applaud, you have to make sure there's an investment in the faculty and the professional staff to ensure that the students who are paying for this education graduate on time, have the highest quality education. SUNY is about access, affordability, and quality. And we want to make sure that when the students come in, yes, they might have brand new residence halls. They may have new instruction facilities and buildings and laboratories. But let's make sure that the best faculty and professional staff are there as well to educate them.
Now, Mr. Political Scientist, and I know you are, and a good one, we now have two houses of the legislature that are controlled by the Democrats. You started us out by saying, well, the Republicans were always protecting the state university, and we all know the assembly was CUNY or the city university number one. Has that changed now? Are they all protecting the city university as opposed to the state university?
Well, you know, to start with, Speaker Hastie has been a great friend of SUNY and of UUP, and definitely his, you know, he's such a strong advocate for access and affordability. He has been the best cheerleader and supporter of the educational opportunity programs, the EOC centers, Attain Labs, these programs that bring students in who otherwise could not go to college. But in other areas as well, he has really been a staunch supporter. So we've seen a little change where we have support in the assembly. Chairperson Glick of the Higher Ed Committee, very supportive. On the Senate side, what we're seeing is very quickly, as the session has moved on, we see new senators who are representing, are serving on the Senate Higher Ed Committee. They want to meet with us. They want to talk about SUNY issues. They want to talk about issues like, you know, get some transparency into these campus foundations, get more funding into programs. So we're more optimistic now as the year goes on that when we try to make public higher ed a major priority in this state, the state Senate will be there with us.
I have so many things I want to ask you, but let me start with the word you just used, the foundations. There are foundations at SUNY raising immense amounts of money. Are we happy with where it's going?
Well, the problem is we don't know where so much of it is going. Just two of the foundations at Stony Brook and University of Buffalo combined is over $1 billion.
Think of that. $1 billion.
$1 billion. The entire amount that we're aware of, and this came out predominantly in the work that the state comptroller DiNapoli did in his report last year, last February, that these foundations, especially at the university centers, are huge. We don't know how the money is being spent.
We have some ideas, don't we?
We have some. And unfortunately, as DiNapoli's report showed, it is not going to the academic mission directly, as was intended in the creation of these so-called private entities. Now, there is a lot of blurring between the private entity of the University of Buffalo Foundation and the University of Buffalo, the public university out there. There's the blurring of the lines. There is the fact that the University of Buffalo Foundation has auxiliary corporations running the bookstore and also food services. And there are some subsidiaries at the UB Foundation where apparently they have no employees, but they have hundreds of thousands of dollars in accounts.
So do they use it to support presidents' housing and things like that?
Well, DiNapoli's report indicated that there were subsidies provided for housing for top-level administrators at Stony Brook. And we know also that it has been used to subsidize salaries, for instance, the football coach at the University of Buffalo. His salary was doubled. Half of his salary was state support. The other half came from the UB Foundation. And then, of course, you know, what we're looking for simply is we want transparency. Governor Cuomo always says that the best, what is it?
Antiseptic
is sunlight. And I think that we have support from the governor. We have support in the legislature for more transparency, just in terms of how the money is used. We don't care about how the money is raised. You know, people want to maintain their anonymity. That's fine. What we're interested in is on the spending side. California has transparency laws for their foundations. They have seen no diminishment in terms of the amount of contributions. I contribute money to organizations. I'd like to know that the money is being used appropriately.
Yeah.
I would think that those who contribute to these university foundations would feel the same way.
Yeah. Okay. So let me ask you a whole bunch of other things, because we just don't have that much time. We have an education secretary, Betsy DeVos, who has been called disgraceful by an awful lot of educators. Are you on that line?
Absolutely. Though primarily, you know, what she has done has impacted so negatively on the public sector in P-12, she has also taken some steps in higher education that are deeply troubling in terms of ending the restrictions on private for-profit institutions, slowing way down in terms of the oversight on the loans that are extended to students, that oversight that was so crucial developed during the Obama administration, and then perhaps most of all, retreating on Title IX enforcement, where we're so concerned, and in New York State, we have been a leader from the governor on down in terms of making sure campuses are safe places and that sexual harassment and sexual assault does not occur. And again, the DeVos Department of Education has backpedaled on that, and it's a disgrace.
So how much damage has been done that can't be undone if Trump is not elected in 2020?
Well, I think at the state level, New York State, I always believe that New York State should simply set the pattern for the rest of the country. I think the governor and the state legislature is committed to that. The way to do that is to make public higher education as vital and important a priority as health care and local aid to schools, P through 12. In order for us to have, obviously, an upstate development that works, where people get incomes that can sustain their communities and they can live good middle-class lives, but also so that they're educated citizens and they can take part in the political process as educated citizens. That is more crucial than ever.
Well, President Cole, let me ask you this. I went to Hunter College. I'm old. And it was free, not a dime. And I saw people all around me who would not ever have gone to college if it was $100, let alone if it was, $1,000. There are those who think that if we educate our kids, as you say, P, through high school, we should do it through college. I mean, if you're going to have a fair game, you really have to do that. What do you think? Are we ever going to see that again?
I don't think so. Although UUP stands in support of basically what President Obama proposed, and that is a community college to be free, or the first 2 years in general to be cost free. Let's recognize that usually proposals like this zero in on tuition. Tuition is roughly 25% to 30% of the cost of public higher education. There are a lot of other expenses. I think that expanding free public higher education across the board, I take the position that that could be regressive. I don't think that Donald Trump's son should get to have free college education. I think, and just in terms of my own family, I supported my sons going through college, and they paid part of the freight as well. I think, given the fact that I thought that I made a high enough income to be able to support them, I think it's a case where helping those who cannot afford to get in, to get the assistance they need. But then also we have to make a note of those who are mid-career. I just saw an article yesterday about a worker at the plant in the Cruise plant, Chevy Cruise plant in Northeast Ohio, where his whole life, 40 years, he worked at the plant. That was his life. Now he doesn't have a job. There has to be a way where he can be retrained so that he can get a high-paying job and sustain his family and his standard of living. We're not cognizant enough of the fact that those so-called non-traditional individuals, not the traditional college students, they get a chance to get into higher education and get the training or retraining that they need.
To much fanfare, Governor Cuomo has gotten credit for the so-called Excelsior Scholarship. And then there have been reports, which is supposed to take care of some middle-class kids.
That's right.
However, there have been some reports that it's not exactly working out. What can you tell us?
Well, what we're finding is that the numbers are not as high as perhaps was anticipated. It is a last-dollar program, which means all other sources of financial aid have to be counted in before you start collecting on the Excelsior program. And so we're not seeing as many numbers as we saw or were anticipated or we saw on the projections. There's
so, Fred,
also,
what are some of the things that would have to be counted before the Excelsior?
Pell grants. Federal assistance programs like that, or in New York State, the assistance provided through the previously mentioned Educational Opportunity Program, TAP, the Tuition Assistance Program in New York State. Yeah, it's very much focused on middle class folks, but we haven't seen the numbers yet. But I think also it is expanding access. That's a good thing. It will support enrollment. That's a good thing. What we have to be aware of, though, again, is that tuition is just about 25% of the cost of a SUNY education. Those other costs are major.
And they are?
Cost of food, cost of residence hall life. You need also to include all of the fees that are charged to students. When tuition was held flat for all those years before the rational tuition plan, what campuses did is they hiked up the fees. Those have never come down. So you really have all of these associated costs. And you should also include costs for a student. And so many of our students now come from New York City. Student, is going out to Fredonia or Buff State. Those travel costs are not insignificant. So that's part of the equation as well.
Fred Cole, are you satisfied with the way college presidents are appointed and the quality of college presidents in New York State?
Well, I think that as much as possible, I really see SUNY as doing the best it can to bring in qualified campus presidents. UUP has, you know, our role, position has always been, we would like a role in that, in the selection process, at least in sort of in the interview process, so we can express ourselves.
And you have none?
Depends on the campus. In some campuses, unions are participants, others are not. And sometimes it depends on, the year. There were times when I was at Cobleskill where we were part of the interview process. There were other times we weren't. What I'm more concerned about than anything else is that, and I know the chancellor is committed to this, I know the governor is committed to this, and the legislature speaks up about it a lot, is we need to diversify the makeup of our campus leadership and our faculty and staff. The student body is diversifying. We're getting more and more students from communities of color. We need to have a faculty, a staff, and leadership that matches that diversity.
Okay, so are you satisfied that the university isn't being used as a political football one way or the other?
Well, it's New York State. Everything's a political football,
we
right?
We play politics. Seriously.
It's as we take it seriously here. And I think the position that I see is the governor, as you said earlier, is a builder. I think that he wants to leave New York State when he believes his time is up as governor. I think he wants to leave a legacy, certainly in certain major projects, construction projects, but also economic development programs. My challenge to him would be SUNY is an opportunity for him to leave a real legacy. Let's see the investment in the upstate campuses that turn a $7 to $1 multiplier effect in those communities. Make that investment and commitment in upstate New York and really turn those communities around.
Especially when you're closing prisons.
Exactly. And there is the opportunity, I think, in this next year's budget to make a real strong commitment. Things that we have proposed, whether it's oversight of the foundations or basically addressing funding shortfalls, there's a chance for the governor to have a real legacy.
Now, there are those who think that prisoners should have a free college education. There are those who say, hey, if I have to pay for my kid, that doesn't seem right to me. Where are you?
You know, I don't think our union has ever taken a stance on that. The only related issue we took a stance on was that we argued for, and SUNY did go along with this. We agreed to mutually on this, is that SUNY undertake a process called Ban the Box. There were college application forms where applicants had to check a box if they had ever been convicted of a crime. We think that if individuals have served their time, they have hopefully turned away from those ways that got them into prison. Now let's get them into college. In terms of free college for those who are incarcerated, again, I think that certain, you know, training and education programs could be helpful so that there isn't recidivism. But at the same time, you know, we have to make sure we're supporting the campuses that have been, you know, so tight for so long budgetarily.
Well, Fred Cole, of course, UUP, United University Professions, is part of a larger union. Can you tell us how that relationship works?
Well, we're part of the New York State United Teachers, a really strong union that represents all of the public school educators and then also community colleges and some private school employees, too. Big union, traditionally very powerful politically in New York State. It's a strong relationship that we have with NYSET. We are also part of the American Federation of Teachers, and AFT is national. Right now, the leadership of AFT, Randy Weingarten, the president, is spending a lot of time going around the country, meeting with members and bringing in the numerous presidential candidates to meet rank and file with the membership so that we have an opportunity literally to ask questions of these candidates to see where they stand on the issues. And hopefully that means when the time comes, AFT can make a decision about an endorsement that reflects where our members are.
I hear you. But do you personally or professionally have a choice?
In terms of being a part of AFT?
No, in terms of who should be the candidate on the Democratic side.
Well, there was some criticism last time that AFT and its eagerness to be the first union to endorse a candidate for president moved too fast.
And they endorsed Hillary
Clinton, yes. And my argument this time around is that the union really needs to focus on hearing from our members about the issues of importance to them, having a dialogue about issues so that then our members are educated about those issues and then they can make a judgment through the primary season as to what candidates are best, which candidates are best.
Now, in the beginning, when Andrew Cuomo was elected, all did not go well between Andrew and the teachers.
That's true.
One gets the feeling that maybe there's been some kissing and making up since that time. Is that right?
Yeah, I think the relationship is much better between NYSED and the governor, and for that matter, between UUP and the governor. But at the same time, it is a situation where we have no permanent friends or permanent enemies, just permanent interests. And those are our members' interests.
So let's talk just for a second about marijuana. Obviously, campuses have always been a place where there's been a certain amount of marijuana going around.
I've heard that.
Would it be better to have legalized marijuana from the union's perspective?
We've never taken a stance on that, on legalization of marijuana. You know, speaking personally, what I have seen is there have been moves towards it. What we have seen at two campuses, specifically Cobleskill and Mooresville, they are beginning programs in raising, because they're agricultural schools, in terms of raising this cash crop. It is a cash crop. I think it's inevitable because of things happening in other states. What I would like to see is that it is done in such a fashion that two things take place. One is that there is revenue, tax revenue from it, that can be used to support the investment in the population, which means healthcare and education. But the second thing is, let's clear up what has happened to those who were convicted under these very strict drug laws and are suffering the consequences. That has to be dealt with.
Well, certainly makes sense to me. I only have 2 minutes, but I wanted to ask you very quickly, Fred Cole. You've urged the governor to sign a true maintenance of effort for SUNY. Can you explain to all of us what that is within 2 minutes?
Yeah, and actually, you know, the legislature for the last few years has passed this, which is intended to ensure that the public dollars flow into the university as needed so that there is a maintenance of the share. So in other words, if the state should put in, we say, at least 50 to 60% of the cost of education and students 40% or thereabouts, perhaps less, it's not there. And so what we have said is there needs to be an investment. Maintenance effort is one way to do it. There are other proposals that we have on the table that we'd be happy to talk about with the governor and with the legislature.
Fred Cole is, as you can see, very erudite and very good president of SUNY's UUP. I'm in awe of him. We're out of time. Our guest has been Fred Cole, and we are delighted, Fred, and you are always invited back because I always learn so much from you.
Thanks very much.